Good morning.
Good morning.
Nobody's sleeping in here this morning, because if you would be. And what joys we have to start with. First of all, even though she's not here today, Suzanne got out of the hospital on Friday. She went through the whole thing. Amen. It was an interesting experience, to say the very least. And I defy you to have not gotten a little grace from her and a little bit more of power of your faith if you were in that hospital with her while she was all trapped up with them tubes. She went from going in to ICU to a breathing machine to back out and out of the hospital on the road to recovery under the cover of prayer in one flat week. Amen.
Amen.
That's good stuff. Let us join our hearts together in prayer. And if there's something upon your heart that you don't feel like sharing out loud, just that hand up and down. As we join together, we bow our heads, hand up. Let us just hear that and open ourselves up to God. Thank you. Join with me in prayer, please. Upon the rock, Father, you built your church. Upon the rock, to demonstrate its unshakable stability when it is based on Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us this rock to cling to. Thank you for giving us this place, this Sunday morning, this area to be in praise of you, to be humbled by you, to be in awe of you, Father. Just hear us as we join together and clear our minds out, praising you, thanking you. And there is much to be prayerful for, but there is much more joy to be shared with sisters that are sick and back with us again, and those who went through the hospital and will be back with us again, and lives touched from that. And brothers who are struggling, let us lift them up in prayer, but let us also know that they are touching us because we are reaching out. And for that, we are eternally thankful. And for mothers, we're going to talk a lot about the entire shape of a house today. And that comes from your ideal situation, man and woman. And the shape the house takes from mother. Thank you. Let us lift them up today, Father. Here in this sanctuary and across the country, wherever they may be, let your hand be upon them. Let a covering be upon them. Let them be touched. And I beg you, do something in this country. I pray something drastic to focus the world back on you. This country back on you. That we might forget this nonsense that we know what's best and that we know how to do everything and that everything in this country is made by us and by the sweat of our backs and our brow, and how we've seemed to have forgotten that it was with a strong, steady trust in you and a faith in your Son Jesus Christ this country was founded, that we need to turn back to that. Please help us along the way. Please protect those watching over us here at home, abroad, in whatever capacity, be it the hospital, the fire and rescue station, wherever it be. In the line it says, give us this day our daily bread, Father. And that's what we ask for today. Our daily bread be your word, opening our heart up. And so with that in mind, let us pray as Jesus would have us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts where we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 2 Timothy short couple of verses for the sermon today. It looks like her for Mother's Day. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I love the two books of Timothy. And I love reading them over and over again. And I had a great opportunity with Chris here to go do a little bit of visitation. And we actually got to speak with Suzanne, and we talked about 2 Timothy, and it was great, and it just propelled me to go back and study into it again. But in 2 Timothy, we see Paul encouraging, because of the shape his life has taken. Verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. May God implant these words in our heart and add His blessing to them. Join with me in prayer. Break us open, Father. Let these words that will be spoken come directly from you. Let them fall upon us and let them strengthen us and remind us and warm us. Let us set aside our labor and focus wholly and completely on you in this time as we hear your message today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Where to begin? It's Mother's Day. Where to begin? What would I talk about? How about right here? Dr. Morgan Campbell. G. Morgan Campbell. I guess if I'm going to be perfect about it. Dr. G. Morgan Campbell had four sons. Four boys. And they were all preachers. And someone once came into the drawing room when the family was there. And they thought they would see what Howard, one of his sons, was made of. So they asked him this question. Howard, who is the greatest preacher in your family? Who is the greatest preacher in your family? Now, let me just back the scene up a little bit. G. Campbell Morgan. And if you ain't read his works, you ought to get a hold of him. Great preacher. In a drawing room with that great preacher. Four sons, great preachers. And somebody says, Howard, who is the greatest preacher in your family? And Howard, with love in his heart and an affection for his father that had no measure, looked straight across the room at his father and without hesitation said, Mother. Mother. And I like it. I always do this, and I don't know if I've ever done it before, but I always love the little Bill Cosby thing when he talks about being dad. Right? Dad has his son. Going to teach that son to become the big ball player, right? And when the boy's a little boy, he sits down in a chair, and he puts his leg out, and he says, all right, boy, come here and hit this leg. And the boy says, ah, hits his leg, and he picks him back up. He says, get up, boy, hit the leg again and again and again. And pretty soon the boy has grown up, and he's gotten bigger and taller and stronger, and he comes at you, and he hits his leg, and you don't want him to do that anymore. And go out there and get that tree, boy. Ah, and he gets a tree, and he grows stronger and stronger, and he catches that football. And he goes through high school, and he becomes a football player. And he goes on through college, and he's the great college player, the first round draft pick. And he goes out there, and he catches in his first game, the game-winning touchdown. And he runs to the end, and all the cameras are on him. And he turns around, and he looks at him, and he says, hi, Mom. Because it looks like her. That shape. That shape. It's how it always begins. It's always Mom. Sorry, Dads. You're out. And I mean everything and every way you do. It looks like her in some way. Paul wrote it in those short little verses. He wrote, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother and in your mother, in Lois and in Eunice, not the father. Started with mom, because it looks like her. When I look at your faith, Timothy, I see your mother. When I was very young, my father taught an object lesson at a revival that we went to. And I don't generally listen to a whole lot of anybody, as is evident by my wife. If my parents were here, they'd be all nodding. I'm one of those boys who can't seem to listen to anybody. Do all of it. Except for her. But he told this story about angels in Sunday school in this object lesson. And he lifted up these angels in heaven and all the things that an angel was and how you picture them, strong and muscular and valiant and built to take on the world. And they were the protectors. And as you've always heard, you can imagine them with large swords ready. Max Lucado even said in his book, in 6 Hours One Friday, that there were a multitude of angels, thousands of them, standing at the edge of heaven looking back at God as Jesus Christ died on this tree saying, turn us loose. We're going to go down there and lay waste to the land. And God said, no. But you get these pictures of angels and how beautiful they sing, and they are the portrayers of love. And how many times did you hear, my angel protects me? They are the protectors. And my father said, if you want to see what angels and truly in heaven are, you only need look at your mother. Because it's just like her. It looks like. I found out too late that my mom was this person. I don't know that I've ever shared this story. And according to my wife, I haven't. So here we go. I found out that my mom was trying to bring me back around. And on February 28th, we had had a birthday party, February 27th, I think. We'd had a birthday party for the boys, and my mother stood with me with her arm around me looking out our picture window up at the compound at the rusted tractors in the yard and the work that was going on. And she looked at me and she said, I cannot wait to see what you're going to do with this house when you're done. I've seen what you've done when you set your mind to it. Thanks, Mom. Monday morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, I receive a phone call. Mom's in the hospital. Okay. I don't usually shake at those words. What happened? She got hit by a car. What? And by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Mom was just in the hospital. Mom was in shock trauma. She'd been hit by a car by a woman who was in a hurry to get in a parking space and backed up and ran over her. Sorry, those are the facts. For the next 3 weeks, I sat every night at shock trauma waiting for her. She didn't come back. We had to pull the plug and we had to let her go. And I never got a chance to pick up and show my mother what she looks like. For her to know, and she knows, but for her to have physically been on this earth today to see me standing up here would have been more joy than she could possibly express after everything I did. I didn't get to. But I found out what my mother looked like. The day after the funeral, I went home and went to the shop. The only place in the world that I can go that nobody bothers me, because it's a shop. Wendy don't come down there except tell me it's time to eat. And now that the boys are old enough, she sends them after me. Because she walks in there and goes, why don't you clean this place up? And I have to help her out the door. I sat in my shop trying to work on whatever tractor was laying in pieces in there, or whatever it was, and I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't find the way. I just couldn't see it. And I walked out the door for a minute, and I looked, and in that instant, more than 10 feet away from me, no more, a single dove landed on whatever was sitting in front of the shop and just sat there looking at me for the longest time. I got it. I know what my mother looks like. My mother looks like love. That is what she looks like. And that was the idea that Christ propagated. That was the whole basis behind the beginning when God developed man and woman, that she would always look like love. I stumbled across the sermon opener as I began to learn a little bit more about how to look at this. A sermon opener goes like this. This is a Mother's Day sermon, and I am preaching without an apology and an appreciation for that time-honored institution without the benefit of which we wouldn't be here. Every Mother's Day sermon I've run across starts with an explanation, and this one's no exception. As ministers, we're taught not to get too sentimental on Mother's Day because for some, motherhood is an accident and not always a welcome one. And for some, biological motherhood wasn't possible. And for some, mothers weren't all that nice. And for some, motherhood under the very best of circumstances is still a bed of roses amid a primrose path. The writer goes on, if I can take some liberties with Wilhelm Busch's words, to become a mother is not so difficult. On the other hand, being a mother is very much so. So with all those qualifications, why bother with Mother's Day at all? I'll tell you why. Because of all of its stumbling blocks, pitfalls, broken dreams, all the soiled diapers, the soiled wallpaper, the spoiled plans. We're talking about a beautiful ideal, a natural part of God's creative plan to bring love and caring to a world full of darkness. Motherhood is a constant demand for the gift of love and caring. Amen. That's what mothers look like. Love! Say it with me. Love! That's what mommy looks like. I learned that with warts and all, life lived through motherhood is what you get to see Jesus looking like. And how do you find that? You ever had a woman look after you? Of course you have. I'm going to tell you something right now, man. If you're sitting in here, you got a woman somewhere that's keeping you straight. Otherwise, you'd be a mess. I can show you. Look in my sock drawer. Mom, keeping you safe from harm with her word and deed. Mom, picking you up to kiss the boo-boos. Mom, making it so that you can feel safe enough to talk to her about anything. Loved you like one of your own, one of her own, even though she may not have been your biological mom. I got to learn that even though my mom wasn't here, is not here. I learned to know something. I learned to know the Grammy, Shirley, Hazel, Becky, Tilly, Tiny, Peggy, Linda, Kathy, Jean, Martha, Pat, Anna, Rachel, Eloise. You wouldn't think I'd forget you, Elaine. You're all my mom. If I want to know what love looks like, I just look for you. Because I can guarantee you that every single one of you women that I've just named in this room have done something to help me stay corrected. That's what she looks like. That's what it looks like. If you ever wanted to see it living and breathing in the flesh, I can tell you right now, if there has been a woman in your life, even if it was your mother, the love you have for that biological woman, or a woman that took you under her wing and loved you like she was your very own mother, you saw what God's ideal was. And he made sure to mention it here in this book repeatedly. Yes, we know Jesus had Mary. And yes, we know at some point Jesus had to tell them that this is more than just my mother. And yet as he died on a cross, she still cried for him. Mommy. Swing around in your Bibles a little bit there. Let's go back in the Old Testament for a way. Head back to 1 Samuel. First Samuel, that's a good Old Testament reading. Oh my goodness. Look at that. I'll get to you in a minute. 1 Samuel, very simple, chapter 1. You know the story I'm getting ready to head into. Hannah dedicating Samuel. And you all know the story so well. What did Hannah want? She wanted a child. How bad, bad? She went to the altar and she said, if you would just do this, I will give him back to you. I will dedicate him to you. I will give him back to you, Lord. And what did Minister Eli say? What are you doing drunk? She said, I ain't drunk. I'm asking God for this. And he said, you got it. And she did. And she took her beautiful son, Samuel. Verse 21. When the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and fulfill his vows, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you, Elkanah, her husband said to her. Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull and an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And when they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. And she said to him, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord, for his whole life will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. You want to know what she looks like? You want to know how it looks? There's love that you would take your own child and turn it loose. That's your love. That's dedication. In chapter 2, the first two verses, we read Hannah's prayer. My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. It wasn't too awful long ago that a preacher stepped down onto the floor and started to recite those old time words for the baby dedication. It wasn't too long ago, 7 and 10 months ago, the two boys dressed in white were held in arms and dedicated and consecrated unto the church. It wasn't too long ago that a young child was born right here. God has truly blessed us in creation. Today, we join in celebrating the blessing of a new life among us. If you want to know what God looks like, if you want to know what Jesus' love looks like, we're about to watch it. The Neff family has been granted a special gift from God, the gift of a child. As with many of God's gifts, a new life brings both responsibility and joy. The family comes today sharing their joy and recognizing their need for support from this family of faith. Let us hear these words from Mark's Gospel. People were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly at them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said unto them, let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. These words and actions of Jesus tell us something about God's very desire for the reception of children, not just into the biological family, but into the church family as well, into His family. In the Church of the Brethren, our understanding, you got to quit doing that, is that our gospel and tradition have led us to wait for baptism until the child and children are able to make their own decision and follow Christ. We see that Jesus instructed His followers to receive children as a gift of God. He also said that children are an example in the way which we should come before God. Today, in obedience, in our understanding of the gospel, we welcome this child's gift, this child of God, to the family of faith, and we receive her. Would the Neff family please come forward? This is Faith Neff. All of y'all already know it. And you know that she was born on?
February 11th, 2001.
You better know that. Chris and Jennifer, you have shared in God's creative power, in His creative power, bringing forth this beautiful new life. Will you pledge to support and love Faith by providing the opportunity for her to grow up in a family of faith with the hope that she will one day confess Jesus Christ as her very own Savior? If so, answer, we will.
We will.
Will you, to the best of your ability, and with God's help, provide a loving family environment in which faith can grow in love and loyalty in obedience to God? Will you encourage a child to grow in faith so that she might be later received into the fellowship of church by baptism, fully partaking in the work and worship of the church? Chris and Jen, along with the members of your family that have expressed their trust in God and in you, and along with the members of this family that constantly put forth the love of God by presenting this child for consecration, will you, the congregation, pledge, you pledge your support and loving presence in times of both joy and sorrow, in ease and in difficulty, and will you give unto them your help through times of growth and frustration? Will you pledge to be faithful witnesses to Christ in upholding this family, especially for the little Faith? If so, answer, we will.
We will.
Pretty good. Let us pray. Father, bless us in this service that we are about to enter into. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we celebrate the gift of a new life among us coming in the person of Faith Abigail Neff. Life we have waited for expectantly. Life we have watched growing month by month. Life we have welcomed in pain and in joy. Life we see, hear, and touch, and smell. We celebrate the gift of new life among us coming to us as a gift from God. We give thanks for a baby born so fragile, yet fully with human features reflecting our God's own image. We give thanks for the extension of the family and for the community and the miles and across time of generations. We give thanks for the potential and the opportunity that this birth heralds, as well as for the challenge and commitment it calls forth. We give thanks for the joy of this moment and the promise of God's continuing presence among us. Please join with me in prayer. Blessed, beautiful thing. We dedicate that your life be showered in grace from Jesus Christ. That your upbringing, that your love be manifested in your mother and father as they too surround themselves with the gift of Christ. And we dedicate and consecrate that as time grows from the foundation given upon this rock, both within the parents and the foundation of marriage, that your beauty would grow and that as you would learn, you would come to know Christ. And in your day of understanding, in your time, make your commitment to Him when you hear the calling. We pray that this family, along with them, take in the Neffs as complete and whole, and that they will work to surround all of the family to see that they grow in strength and beauty for the glory of Christ. Today, Father, we offer up Faith Abigail Neff unto your holy presence, that you would guide and direct her and lead her in time to Christ your Son in forever. As all of us said, amen. Have you been in Miss Peggy's Sunday school? Friends, I'd like to present to you Faith Abigail Neff, Christopher Neff, and Jennifer Neff, in love and honor and support, and give unto them all things through all of their family, including this beautiful child now born, as a power and a complete and whole understanding of God's presence. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this, our convention. Thank you for this, our giving. Thank you for this, our child. And thank you for this, our church, that we may know Jesus Christ wholly and completely, upon which whom all of our lives are built and exist. And thank you for this dedication of little faith. What a beautiful name to have in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. She almost looks like a pea on top of a potato, doesn't she? All I want to know is how many people in here thought that I could hold that little baby. That's what it looks like. That's what mother's love looks like. That's what God gave us. That's what Jesus Christ personified. That's what He said. Fathers, you can have your day. We got a day coming up where kids will give us a stick with a little bit of mud on it and go, "Happy Father's Day." We don't count. Not right now. The shape, the beauty, the glory, the love, the growth is what mother looks like. And I don't care if it's your mother or the women in my life that I named. They all surround us. And so to finish it up, we'll see many things today. Moms eat free and special flowers for mom as we drive home. And there's all these things that you'll see that'll be touting strength and poise and purpose for mom. But in the words of my father, whom I will call later to thank for this, in the words of my father, if you want to see heaven, go to mom. It looks like that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for... Thanks for mom. Be it the one that birthed us, be it the one that raised us, be it the one that's down the street that brings us cold or hot soup when we're sick with a cold. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Father. Today, as we should honor them every day, but today a little extra special. Thank you for new life. Thank you for lives lived long that they may teach us the wisdom and beauty of a new life. Let us surround all of us as we leave here today with comfort and love and care, ever abiding in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Linda, you can stay back there. Just, your ankle's bothering you. Just sit down. And one last thing before we go. We have a certificate made by Diane to commemorate it, and a gift from the church. And I'm pretty sure it's a gift certificate to a steakhouse. So maybe I should just hold on to that.
Or not.
Please stand and come to number 342, Rock of Ages.
Today is the day. If you need that strengthening prayer, you can come forward. If you don't know Jesus like we do, if you're looking for that love, if you're looking for that uplifting as we sing this last hymn. Upon us as we go from here. May we be made light to walk, but should we find our way blocked this week, may our prayers be righteous and take us through it, holding on to the hands of the Almighty. I pray blessings upon each and every one of you as you depart from here today. Now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, forever and ever, and all said,
Amen.